And we had no idea how it happened or what caused it. Absolutely no idea. Now I'm going back to the office, and I'm going to tell her, Anna, I figured it out. The government has helped us. You hurt your knees because you fell. Mr. Speaker, Americans are tired of federal nursemaids wasting their money and insulting their intelligence. If I may quote my friend, Mr. Traficant, unbelievable.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Ohio rise? Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, the administration announced yesterday that because Congress wasn't acting quickly enough to throw good money after bad down that black hole that is the Mexican economy, it has used unprecedented executive authority to extend billions of our taxpayers' money to bail out the Mexican peso and the Wall Street speculators who invested there without a vote of Congress. The last time Mexico devalued its currency was in 1988, just around the time of its presidential election. Before that, Mexico devalued in 1982, again, just around the time of its presidential election. And now they did it again, just after the presidential election of 1994. Some would like you to think that using Treasury's power to prop up the peso is a temporary fix, but they are wrong. This is not a currency problem. It is a problem of continuing mismanagement at the highest levels inside an emerging undemocratic country. The false security of Mexican oil is an illusion, too. That's already been pledged to pass debt. If you're outraged like I am, come to room 2247 this afternoon, members of Congress. Let's get the administration on the right track for a change.
Gentlelady's time has expired. For what purpose does the gentleman from Florida rise?
Can I address the House for 1 moment? Rise, extend my...
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, U.S. military occupation in Haiti continues today, but mandate of the Haitian Parliament is going to end this Saturday. The timeline for new parliamentary elections has already slipped from last December to perhaps sometime this May or maybe later. But how can you build a democracy without a parliament, without a legislative branch, especially in Haiti, especially with President Aristide? Unfortunately, in 1991, President Aristide fell prey to the drive to consolidate power that has historically characterized Haitian politics, and he's failed to learn a very basic lesson of democracy, and that is that shared power makes for better governance, and of course it is vital for true democracy. Lack of progress on the elections in Haiti means President Aristide will be ruling Haiti without checks or balances. The time for free and fair elections in Haiti is now. Bring our troops home today, bring on Haitian elections now, and save both democracy in Haiti and American taxpayers' dollars. I yield back the balance of my time.
What purpose does the gentleman from Illinois rise? Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, we have heard my friends on the other side of the aisle talk a lot about change. That's good. This institution needs some change. But in the past 3 weeks, the American people have found out what type of change many of my colleagues were really talking about. We've discovered that a new criteria exists for being able to speak the truth on the floor of the House. We found that when the subject is questionable dealings by powerful members of the House leadership, speaking the truth on the floor of the People's House is often prohibited. But that's not the only change, Mr. Speaker. We passed a Congressional Accountability Act that is far worse than what was passed by this House just last year, because it did not eliminate a ban on gifts from lobbyists and allows members to continue to use their frequent flyer miles for personal use. There are other changes, too. We're no longer talking about lobbying reform or campaign finance reform, the real critical changes that will truly make a difference in the way we conduct the people's business. Yes, many of my friends marched into this institution waving a banner that said reform and change, but all we see today is the white flag.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from North Carolina rise? Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, as mayor of the booming city of Charlotte, North Carolina, I experienced firsthand the absurdity of unfunded federal mandates. We were forced to curtail services in order that our constituents had already paid for, in order to avoid being taxed twice for the same things. American taxpayers are paying over 50% of every dollar they earn in taxes. They view unfunded federal mandates as government inefficiency and double taxation. We must pass H.R. 5, if for no other reason than because the American taxpayers demand it.
what purpose does the gentlelady from Colorado rise?
I ask you to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, today in China, they are celebrating the first day of the Lunar New Year, the Year of the Pig. And we now find out from the New Yorker magazine that a big multinational pig is trying to feed over there the same way that pig's been trying to feed in the U.S. Congress. I guess the question is Beijing becoming more like Washington or Washington becoming more like Beijing. But what we learned today is Deng Xiaoping's daughter, Ding Maomao, also has a book contract with Mr. Murdoch. Mr. Murdoch seems to be wanting to try and get his TV station into China and has pulled all of the BBC news because it has much too much about human rights, which this really, really makes them upset, and has furthermore now cut this wonderful deal with Deng's daughter, who's supposed to be the closest to him, but of course there couldn't be any hanky-panky there. So if anyone now asks you, what is the similarity between our speaker, Deng Xiaoping's daughter, and Mrs. Thatcher, we now know. They all have Rupert Murdoch book deals.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Arizona rise?
Mr. Speaker, I request unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute and to revise and extend my remarks.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, from the home office back in Scottsdale, Arizona, the top 10 reasons liberal Democrats oppose our contract with America. Number 10, ideas. We don't need your stinking ideas. Number 9, book envy. Number 8, would you Republicans shut up? We're watching the OJ trial. Number 7, Al Gore. What a guy. Number 6, 'tis better to have taxed and lost than never to have taxed at all. Number 5, never make a promise you might have to keep. Number 4, would rather follow the P.T. Barnum maxim, never give the taxpayer an even break. Number 3, profits? What are profits? Aren't they evil? Number 2, hey, what happened? We thought the status quo was pretty good. And the number 1 reason Democrats oppose our contract with America. Republicans, with our contract, are trying to change this Congress. Democrats would rather change the subject.
For what purpose does the gentleman from California rise?
I ask unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, if numbers such as $715,000, $324,000, or even $172,000 had shown up on my last FEC report, the Republican National Committee would demand an immediate investigation, and the Federal Election Committee would have already levied steep fines against me. In fact, my Republican colleagues likely would be calling for an ethics investigation and independent counsel. And I would like to assure my colleagues that dollar amounts of that magnitude did not show up on my FEC report. But I will tell you where they did show up. GOPAC. According to the Los Angeles Times, on January 30, 1995, GOPAC has received more than $2.8 million from just 10 contributors. But you won't see these dollar amounts on GOPAC's FEC reports. They refuse to disclose the information. In an era when the new Republican majority talks about an open Congress and opening up the political process, it seems to me it should live by its own words and open up GOPAC's books.
Gentleman's time has expired. For what purpose does the gentlelady from Nevada rise? Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, what do 46,000 women and 240 men have in common this year? No, not an interest in the O.J. Simpson trial. These people are all expected to die from breast cancer in 1995. I've again introduced legislation to help lower-income women by requiring state Medicaid plans to provide coverage of screening mammography. I've also introduced legislation to provide annual mammography coverage for Medicare beneficiaries aged 65 and older. Current law permits coverage only every other year for this age group. Coverage of early